Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship-building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels, live radio show. I do appreciate you joining. We're live on Facebook Live. I guess that is live, right? Live on Facebook on Tuesday at 1 p.m. PST, which stands for Pacific Standard Time, just in case, you know, people didn't know. But I do thank you again. You know, I always thank people like most of the time when I come on the show, because I do appreciate five people that listen. Yeah, we're up from like three last week. Now we got five people listening. So I do appreciate that. And I do not take that lightly that people do listen to the show. So thank you so much. And I appreciate it. Shout out to Cheryl Rogers. One of my clients, she's working from home. She just said she's going to listen to the show today. So I said, you know what? Let me send her a shout out. Because that's what I can do, right? Because the Russell of Hotels, that's what he does, right? You know, he sends shout outs to people every now and then. So no, Cheryl, but thank you so much for everything you've done, you know, meetings and things like that. But, hope things are well for you there in San Diego. And we will talk soon. What's going on? I mean, there's a lot going on, right? Today is Taco Tuesdays. You know, it's all about, you know, we're going through this whole thing and we're all doing it together, but we can still have fun. We can still make light of certain things, and we can still laugh and get our mind off of things for a minute. But, you know, of course, some of the topics we talk about on our shows or whatever are, you know, related to what's going on, the COVID virus and how it's just basically decimating the hospitality industry. But hey, but there may be some things, some new things coming up that, you know, giving us a vision of what's going to happen in the future. You know, some people think it's sooner rather than later. Some people think it's rather later than sooner, you know, so it just depends on who you're talking to and when you're talking to them. Right. So I posted some things in the last couple of days, some experts that say, you know, things are, you know, maybe positioning ourselves or within the industry to get back sooner rather than later, and sooner as in like 6 weeks. Now, I don't know what crystal ball this person has, but, you know, maybe that's true. But, you know, as a show of solidarity with, you know, my hospitality people, I've told a couple of people, no, I've only told one person this, I'm not shaving until, you know, we all go back to work. Okay. So that's what's going on here. I may trim it, you know, make it look, you know, presentable, but I'm not shaving until we all get back to work. Okay. How about that? Okay. So I'm with you guys, right? So there you go. So this is show 55, right? I always say this, who would have known 55 shows? Who would have known one show? But 55 shows later, we're still here. We're still doing it. So obviously people, you know, like to hear, or maybe I just like to hear myself talk. I don't know, one of the two. Either some people like to hear what I have to say, or I just like to hear myself talk. I think it's a little bit of both, right? So whatever. But collaboration and connecting, that's what it's all about. That's what, you know, Russell Edmonds all about. That's what On Air with Russell is all about. That's what Russell of Hotels is all about. Collaboration with people, connecting people to maybe services or to other people that maybe they didn't know in their circle of, you know, colleagues or circle of friends. You know, my job, and I said this start of the year, was to do more collaboration and connecting of people. I cannot believe my iPad is showing me 10%. What do you mean 10%? What's going on with that? I've been charging this thing all night, and it's down to 10%. Go figure, technology. But anyway, industry news. What's going on? What is going on? Okay, no, I don't want that. It's asking me, do I trust the source that I'm plugging this into? No, I don't trust it, so that's why I had to push that button. But did you know in this industry news, right? You know, what hotels do we talk about? What major companies do we talk about? Marriott is the first one, right? Well, no exception today. Marriott, did you know Marriott is 7,500 hotels worldwide? 2,000 of those hotels have been closed. Do we know that? I didn't know. You know, it's interesting to hear, you know, oh, my hotel closed down, this and that. But when you hear wrong numbers of one company, you know, 2,000 hotels have closed out of 7,500, 1,000 of those in the U.S. I mean, that's not to you know, take exception to the other ones, like the small mom and pops hotels that have closed down as well, because that's worse than, you know, Marriott, you know, closing down, because Marriott is a huge conglomerate of hotels, right? You know, mom and pops, they may just have that one hotel, maybe two hotels. So it's hit them more. So, you know, when they're talking about, you know, giving this money to certain companies and things like that, it's the small companies that need this. It's not the large companies that need a bailout, so to speak, right? So, I mean, just think about it. Let's keep that stuff in perspective. Who really needs the money? And I'm not in any position, and I'm not talking political. I'm just saying it makes sense, because there's more of those mom and pop or, you know, individual entrepreneurs than the other people. Because what people don't seem to realize, just because one brand is on the sign, Hilton, you know, Marriott, Holiday Inn, does not mean those companies own those hotels. A lot of those hotels are franchises. In fact, most of them are franchises. Okay, so just always keep that in mind when we, you know, why does he need the money? Why, you know, why shouldn't they get the money? Well, it's the mom and pops that keep the things going. Hate to say it, but it's true, okay? So those are the ones that need to bail out. Those are the ones that need assistance, because they have the majority of the hotels. The companies, they get the franchise fees, you know, things like that. But who's paying those franchise fees? The franchisors, okay? That's who's paying, or E's, that's who's paying it. So there you go. So just thought I'd share that with you. So during these times, I mentioned 2,000 Marriott hotels have closed. You know, all Marriott hotels, they're mandated to wear masks. One thing I brought up a couple weeks ago, and I have conversations with people all the time in the hotel space, in the hospitality space, in the tourism space, and I always ask them, what are you going to do differently now than what you did before, right? Because we need to know, I mean, as the consumer, what are you doing differently? What's going to happen now that I'm going to come there and be safe with me and my family, or I'm bringing a group there? What's going on now that you weren't doing in the past? Now, I've been posting some things on, and I mentioned this a little while ago, on LinkedIn, where there's some articles, Marriott specifically, where they're, you know, doing extra cleaning and things like that. And there's actually, you know, a visual of, you know, some apparatus they're using to sanitize rooms and things like that, which is very interesting. So of course, and this is, you know, we all knew this, Marriott would be the one in the forefront. So everyone else is waiting to see what they're going to do, and then they fall in place, right? So that's just how it works. It's always worked like that for as long as I've been in this industry. Marriott has always been the industry leader in everything, and there's no exception now. They're the industry leader in you know, cleanliness, sanitation. They're taking it to another level, and this is their words, not mine. But we'll see, right? We'll see, is that going to be enough for people to be comfortable to go back in the hotels? I think it's, you know, what the hotel is going to look like. Our experiences specifically is going to be different. And I'm going to get into that because that's one of the topics for today is basically, you know, what is a hotel going to look like today? I mean, meaning as far as services and things like that. And this is all Russell of Hotels, Russell Edmond stuff. This is what I think. Of course, I've had, you know, conversations with people, but, you know, no conversation holds more weight than another one. It's just basically my synopsis of how I came up with this stuff. And, you know, it is what it is, but these are just my thoughts. And I'll get into what my thoughts are because everybody's inquiring minds want to know, what the heck is this Russell of Hotels? What does he really know, right? Well, I don't know, but we about to see, right? So I want to thank Michelle Carlin. Michelle Carlin, she is with Alignment Advising. And I'm just thanking her because she put out an article and it was interesting. It had to do with the new normal, embracing uncertainty and uncomfortableness. Can you say that like five times? To be uncomfortableness. I can't even say it one time. So bottom line, it's the new normal, embracing uncertainty. I'm not going to say the other word again. Embracing uncertainty. So she just sent that out. I don't know when it was, but I posted it right before this show. So go to my LinkedIn page and check it out. Or go to Michelle Carlin's page and check it out. That's fine. But I think it's just an interesting read for people in the industry that, you know, going through how you're dealing with certain things, or whatever. So check it out. Okay, check it out. Last week, I spoke about reinventing yourself, okay? I was, you know, what should you do? Should you just be waiting for the other shoe to fall? Or should you actively be doing new things? And then I read this kind of a quote. It was a tweet, actually, earlier today from Scott Eddy, who is a global content creator, influencer, if you will, as a travel show and things like that. So, you know, I read a lot of stuff that a lot of these influencers have to say, specifically Scott and some other people, right? He's probably my top three of the people that I read their tweets. And I actually know Scott, okay? So I personally know him. So of course I'm gonna, you know, throw his name out there and, you know, name drop every now and then. But Scott's one of those people that on things, right? So. And I'm just going to read this. Okay, this is his tweet actually today. Today I see a quote from, I'm reading what my notes to draw my memory, right? I'm not supposed to read that part. But what I've learned from turning a crisis into an opportunity. This is from Scott. He said, I've been through the dot-com crash. I've been through the real estate crash. I've been through SARS. I've been through the tsunami in Southeast Asia, which he lived in Thailand for some time. And he's been through 9/11. This is a time to double down and when others are not. This is a great equalizer. Everyone is starting at zero. Okay, did you get that? Okay, let me just read it again. Just read it one more time. What I've learned from turning a crisis into an opportunity. He's been through the dot-com crash, real estate crash, SARS, the tsunami in Southeast Asia, and 9/11. This is the best time to double down when others are not. This is a great equalizer. Everyone is starting at zero. I think that's, you know, and how you doing, right? So what does that mean? That means that everyone, I mean, this situation has got everybody's in the same boat, right? So we're all starting at zero, right? So you can reinvent yourself. You can be whatever you want to be. But bottom line is, what are you doing? Okay, do something, right? So that's what he's saying. So thank you, Scott, so much for that. And it resonates. Like, what are you doing? So everyone's at ground zero. Everyone is starting over. We're all in this the same pay. I'm saying, you know, we're all in this together. So what are we doing? Just something to think about. Scott Eddy. Words from Scott Eddy. Contact information. How do you get a hold of Russell of Hotels? If you just have questions for Russell of Hotels, you want to be on the show with Russell of Hotels. And I know I have people that I have a backlog of people that want to be on the show. Okay. But you know, we got to talk about specifics, but yeah, I got a backlog of people that want to be on the show. Right. But the last several shows, I've just had me because I like to talk, right? And I talk and I talk about different things. So I had a couple of things that I wanted to get out before I have other people on the show. So that's the reason why. Not that I have to explain anything to anyone, but that's just the reason why I have not had a guest on the show in the last 2 weeks, is because there's some things that I hadn't talked about, and you know, and I just wanted to bring that stuff up. So I had to get a hold of Russell of Hotels, just in case you wanted to be on the show, or you want sponsorships, or whatever you wanted to do. Russell at russellofhotels.com is my email address. Twitter, I'm at Russell of Hotels. IG, Russell of Hotels. LinkedIn, where I do a lot of stuff on LinkedIn. Russell L. Edmond is my name there. Facebook, I have two pages, but the main one is Russell L. Edmond. And I have one that's Russell of Hotels as well, Russell of Hotels as well. And I have a website, which is russellofhotels.com. Okay. And after the show, we all know. In fact, did I mention this? Now, if you're want to see me live, right? Some people are already tuning in to see me live, but if you're not, you can go to Facebook, your Facebook page, type in LA Talk Radio, and then just look for me. I'm talking now. And just share that page. And it basically shares it with your people. So that'd be great. So it's shared with your people where you can see it, and the people to follow you can see it. So that's what it's all about. Right? Social media is about, you know, you sharing something and then to someone else you're sharing something and on and on and on. So I appreciate that. Okay. So if you can do that, and that way you can see me. If you want to look at, if you just want to just look at it, you can look at it there. If you didn't want to share, you didn't have to, but of course, if you did, the more people to see it, to me, the merrier. And I mentioned sponsorship opportunities. If you're interested in, like I said, being on the show, talking about your brand, things like that, feel free to email me at the email that I gave you, which was russell@russellofhotels.com. Who listens to the show? A lot of people listen. It can be 1,000. It can be 2,000. It can be 50 people. It just depends. But feeder cities, which means those are the cities that people listen to the show the most. Orange County, LA, San Francisco, Chicago, and New York. So those are, and Atlanta. Atlanta is a new city that people are starting to listen to now. Canada, the UK, we're starting to get people there. We got people listening as far as the Philippines and people in Bahamas, Jamaica as well. So I do appreciate everyone. So thank you guys for all listening. Do appreciate it. What is the Russell Hotels Group? Well, Russell Hotels does a lot of different stuff, right? I mean, first and foremost, back up for a second. Did I show you guys my shirt? Okay. Now I'm repping Blythe, California today. Okay. And I'm sorry. And if people that watch the show, they know I'm kind of all over the place anyway sometimes, but I forgot. I would be remiss if I didn't show you my shirt that I'm rocking today. Okay. This was from homecoming, Palo Verde High School homecoming. Didn't matter the year, right? In Blythe, where I'm from, they shut down the city, right? They shut it down and it's homecoming for everybody. So they have a parade through the town. There's only one street, one main street that goes through Blythe, right? There's only one high school, okay? One high school, one middle, well, it's not even a middle school anymore. But I think it's three elementary schools that feed into the high school, right? So the high schools or the elementary schools now go through, I guess, eighth grade, and then high school picks up, you know, from 9 to 12. It used to be a middle school when I was back in the day, but they, because of budgets or whatever, who knows? It's not like that anymore. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is homecoming. So during football season, of course, everybody comes back. Doesn't matter the class. I mean, you'll see people, you know, from class of 2020. You'll see people from class of 59. I mean, it just doesn't matter. And all everything in between. So it's one of those communities that comes together on homecoming. They close the town down. And the parade only lasts probably about 30, 45 minutes, right? But everybody, if you wanted to go to Blythe and see everyone, that's the time to go see the 200 people that live there. No, that's not funny. My mom listens to the show, so I can't, you know, be too critical of Blythe, but it's a great experience. I do love it. I do love going back there. You see your old classmates, you see friends, You see, but you see people from all, like I said, from every class you'll see, because they all went through the same high school for the most part. A lot of us had the same teachers. But anyway, so I just wanted to show you that because I was wondering, you know, someone asked me, like, what are you wearing, you know, on the show? I'm like, I'm not sure. And I say, you know what? I'm a rock where I'm from. I'm a rock Blythe, okay? I'm repping Blythe today, okay? So, and it kind of matches my pocket scarf, too. Get a little green in there. Little Kelly, it's Kelly Green. I don't know if that's Kelly Green or Emma Green. Well, I don't know what it is. But anyway, so if you ever want a homecoming experience, because as far as I know, there's no way, you can't do this in L.A., right? You can't close down a town in L.A. You can't even close down a street in L.A. without, you know, the act of God or something. But in Blythe, you can close down the streets. They close down the stores. They just, it's just, it's one of the greatest experiences I can say. And I'm, you know, I'm glad I'm from Blythe. And I'm proud I'm from Blythe, okay? Because some people say, all right, I thought you're from L.A. No, I'm not from L.A. I lived in L.A. many years. But I was born and raised in Blythe, California, okay? 18 years, B-Town, baby, okay? There you go. So that's it. So I just wanted to share that with everybody that's watching. Like, why is he wearing that shirt? Okay, well, I'm rocking my town. I'm rocking my high school, Palo Verde High. Okay, not Palos Verdes, Palo Verde. I think that translates into green stick, okay? That's what... So what is... Oh boy. Okay. Anyway, what does Russell Fotel's group do other than talk about Blythe? Okay. Business development, insurance, life insurance, mutual funds, 401ks. I help set those things up. That's one thing that I did as far as reinventing myself last year before all this stuff happened. Not that I knew this was going to happen. Of course, no one knew that. But I knew that, you know, there's other things. Excuse me. Kind of hiding here. I had to close the door. I knew there's other things that I wanted to do to be help out the hospitality industry, because like I said, a lot of times we move around from place to place, and sometimes we lose some of the things, meaning we lose the investment, an avenue to invest, or we lose our life insurance because it stays with the job. So, my thing was, what can I do to enhance or to support the hospitality industry if I'm not doing meetings or hotel consulting? Well, this is one of the things I can do. So that's what I did. So that's one thing Russell of Hotels does. Hotel site selection, I still do that. My job is to go out and find hotels for companies and organizations or people or whoever, you know, in need of a hotel or a meeting, you know, based on your budget, you know, the size of your group, whatever. My job is to find, you know, the hotel that best suits or the destination that best suits your meeting. Digital marketing. I do a lot of digital marketing. I'm gonna talk about that in a little bit, but I mean, look at my LinkedIn page. I mean, I've been posting things like crazy. A lot of that stuff I'm doing now is for market research, because I'm trying to figure out what, you know, which posts I get more people, you know, engaged, meaning they're people that are sharing, you know, some of the things that I'm posting. Is it the message? Is it the antics? Is it the photo? Is it the video? I mean, those are things that, you know, this at this time, you can do some market research, right, to find out what platform works better for you and what type of messaging works well for you. So that's, you know, that's all in the realm of digital marketing, which a lot of people just think they can just post things and hopefully it sticks, right? Well, a lot of people do that, but, you know, there has to be some method to posting. I'm not saying, you know, because some people say, well, only post during this time of day, only post this. Well, there's more to it than that. But anyway, I can talk a little bit about that later. And I'm a radio show host, right? On Air with Russell of Hotels. What the heck? Here we go. Whoop, whoop. So there you go. So those are things that Russell of Hotels does. Who's on blast? Now, being on blast, these people have been on blast for a minute. I'm still going to continue to do on blast. And I always mention, like I did last week, I'm not sure if these, you know, some of these people are still working. Maybe they're furloughed. I don't know. But that doesn't mean I don't want them on the show, right? Eventually, we're going to go back to work. So why not come on the show now when not a lot is going on? You can talk about what you're doing, you know, what you're working on, where you came from, meaning, you know, your experience. Because everyone has a story, right? And that's one reason why I started the show and when I had guests on, because every guest has their own story, you know. So why not come on and talk about your brand, right? Get your brand out there. You are the brand. Let's talk about your brand. some people don't even think about it like that. They just say, well, my job is this. I work for this company, and I can't say, you know what? Suck it up, okay? Be the brand. Come on. Talk about yourself. It's okay. And these, most of these people are salespeople, right? So what salesperson doesn't want to talk about themselves? And if they don't want to talk about themselves, they shouldn't be in sales, okay? Woo, I'm on one today, okay? So Brian Churchill, you're on blast, okay? VP of LA Tourism, you're on blast. Carol, aka C. Mott, she's in DC. She's the director of convention sales with Destination DC. Luis Torres, Universal Studios, he's been there forever. Okay, I think he was there before Universal. It was just a lump of dirt, and he was there, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how can I partner with hotels? You know what I mean? So that's Luis Torres. Stephanie Corsino, Hong Kong Tourism, you're on blast. Junior Tav, I can never say this right. Tavaha, okay, VP. No, I'm sorry. He's Chief Sales Officer at Visit Anaheim. Good friend, you're on blast, Junior. Ashley Tate, Brand Marketing Manager at Visit West Hollywood. WeHo, you're on blast. Okay, that's what they call West Hollywood. WEHO, West WeHo, that's the acronym, okay? So don't take anything else with that, okay? Like, what? He called somebody? No, I didn't say all that, okay? I said WeHo. I'm on a show, right? Someone's texting me like, I'm trying to call in. Well, what am I supposed to do? You think I'm going to stop and text you back and say, well, what do you want me to do? You know, because there's a number you can call into the show. She says she's trying to call in. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I'm okay, let me stop the show so I can respond to this. Whew. Boy, I tell you, some people are something else, aren't they? And I'm, like I said, I'm on fire today. Okay, so, and I mentioned this earlier, but it always comes back to this, collaboration and connecting people. And that's why these people are on blast, right? For the most part, because we want to connect with them. We want to collaborate with them. You know, you never know where these things lead, right? So why not come on the show, talk about what you do, talk about your brand, your personal brand, as well as your professional brand. It's a win-win for everybody, right? That's what I think, but who knows? How is your brand? And this I've been asking for the last 3 weeks, when I've had guests on and not had guests on, right? But I think it started with when I had Amy Beardsley on. Hey, Amy. It was like, how is your brand staying relevant? These are like four questions you should ask yourself, right? Four questions you should ask yourself. How is your brand staying relevant? That's the first one. Two, is there anything that you're doing? Is there anything that you're doing differently? You know, based on what's going on, is there anything that you're doing differently than what you did 2 months ago? Have you connected with anyone new? This is the time we need to reach out to people, see how they're doing. They can be clients, they can be potential clients, they can be whatever. Find out how people are doing. This is that part of, you know, we need to show empathy. We need to know what's going on with people, with our clients, or maybe they're past clients and you hadn't talked to them in a while and you hadn't reached out. Maybe they're friends. This can be personal, okay? So it doesn't have to always be related around your job and things like that. But, you know, personally, have you reached out to people, someone you maybe haven't talked to in a while, just to say, hey, just checking on you, just seeing how you're doing. I noticed, you know, things are crazy, but I just wanted to say, hey, why don't you do that? And then four, what has this situation taught you? Have we learned anything from this situation? Did we learn maybe, like I said, I learned that it's okay to reinvent yourself. Okay, it's okay to do other things, you know, until this thing comes back. It's okay to keep yourself busy. It's okay to garden. It's okay to cook. It's okay to, because I don't know if you guys have, you know, looked at some of the stuff that I've been posting. You know, it's a lot of food, right? And I'm I call myself plant-based, right? The vegan thing, I'm not in 100% vegan because there's some other things that I do or I wear and things like that that would not be considered vegan. You would not be accepted in the vegan community if, you know, if you're wearing a leather belt, okay? So, but I'm trying to, you know, as far as health, you know, don't eat, you know, other than plant-based food. So that's what I do. So what would I prepare and show on my, you know, on my posts and things like that, but plant-based food. So that's what I've been doing. So if that's biscuits, if that's meatballs that I made that were not meatball, meatless meatballs that were made with lentils. So I, you know, blended up lentils, not real fine, but just enough so they can hold, you know, you put breadcrumbs and they'll hold together, right? So, and I put other ingredients in there as well, and I baked them off. You can probably pan fry them if you wanted to, but I baked them. I just sprayed a little olive oil and baked them, and they came out really good, right? Who would have thought that lentils would taste well as meatballs, but or meatless meatballs, but they did. So those are things that I'm doing. And, you know, is that reinventing yourself or is that maybe just, you know, buying some time? I don't know. You're bored. I don't know what it is, but it's been fun. It's been good just being creative. My garden is doing very well. I just bought some more flowers today, bought some fertilizer for the grass. I mean, those are things that, you know, I always did, but now it's kind of heightened because you're looking for stuff to do, right? I shoot more baskets now. I think I can challenge anyone to a shooting contest, not one-on-one, but I think I can challenge anyone to a shooting contest right now, okay? So anybody want to go out and shoot some baskets, let me know. Well, I guess we got to do the social distancing thing, right? We can do it via Zoom, okay? Hello? So that's a challenge. Whoever wants, you know, a piece of this, let me know. But I'm shooting every day and I'm ready. Jordan, Pippen, whoever wants to come out and shoot some threes or just some buckets, I can do it. Okay. So LeBron, all of them, doesn't matter. Magic, it doesn't matter. Okay. So what I mentioned a little while ago was doing more market research. Okay. During this downtime, market research is good, right? And so, you know, if you're like a digital marketer like myself or, you know, a content creator, do you know which platforms work better for your messages? I just experiment, right? I mean, I don't know if there's a book that tells you all this stuff or you just kind of trial and error. I'm sure there is a book and I'm sure a lot of people just do trial and error. But there should be a method to, you know, where you're posting things because everything does not resonate with everyone on every platform, right? So one message that does well on Instagram may not do well on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter, you know, and you know that the algorithms are different on all of those, especially for LinkedIn, because LinkedIn, you can still, you know, click and connect with other people and the people can see all your posts and things like that. But, you know, Twitter, Facebook, and all those, we all know that you post things and even people that are friends with you or follow you or whatever, they don't see all the posts but LinkedIn has not changed those algorithms yet. So if I were you, I would try to get as many people that follow me or connect with me as you can, because that's what I do, right? I'm trying to get as many people that can connect, because when they do change them, you know, you don't want to be left out. You want to still be able to reach the people that you're trying to reach, right? And they may change it that way where you can't, but I would rather try to grow my LinkedIn followers just so people connect. And case in point, I sent out something. So this is what I've been doing. So for my market research, right? So I'll send out certain things on four platforms and see the reach that I get, you know, see how many people actually read it, how many people share it. How many people make comments, how many people like it, right? I mean, those things are all important in social media. So what I found that I have more of a reach, or I get more activity from LinkedIn, right? So should I put more things on LinkedIn? Well, it depends. But, you know, the things that I get more traction on are more business-related things too. So it depends on what you're sending out. Am I sending something that's based on my brand, you know, Russell Hotels, or is it something that's going to be fun and silly or whatever? The fun and silly stuff I basically leave for Facebook, okay? So, like, there's been a lizard in my patio for the last week. So I posted two videos of this lizard. And, you know, you get well over, you know, a couple hundred views just from that, right? I'll post something on something serious on Facebook and I may not get as many. It just depends on what it is. If it's something that's, you know, kind of work related or hotel related, I don't get the same things, right? I don't get the same responses. I don't get the engagement. I don't get anything like that. But if I post, you know, if it's posted something on LinkedIn, I got like 2,700 views. It had to do with, you know, the whole meeting industry, you know, getting back in 6 weeks, bottom line. That's basically what it said, right? Well, people are hungry for the information. So they, 2,700 people, and it's still growing, right? So, and I just posted it yesterday. So, you know, it just depends. But this time I'm doing, like I said, more market research just to see, you know, different postings. And I'm not worried about the time of day, because I'll give a posting, you know, 12 hours to see what it's going to do, 12 to 24 hours just to see what it's going to do, and then go from there. So I know LinkedIn, if I'm posting something, you know, from the brand Russell Hotels, I'm going to get a lot of hits on that. Now, if I put that same thing on Facebook, nope, not as many. On Twitter, no, definitely not. Because, yeah, I think the algorithms on there, I don't know what it is, but on Instagram, I would get more. I get more on Instagram. So the three platforms that I use more than anything, LinkedIn would be number one, Instagram be number two, and then Facebook. That's just me, but that's just for my brand. So everybody's brand is different, right? And I'm sure the experts would say maybe something different. I don't know. But this is just me talking, because this show is called, it's called the On Air with Russell of Hotels, right? So that's just me. That's just what I think. But this time, you know, as we're sitting around trying to figure out what the heck the next move is, think about that. Think about your market research. And you can do it just as easy as starting posting things and see what resonates with people on different platforms. Boom. There you go. Today's topic. You thought that was a topic, huh? You're like, this dude should be over, right? No, I'm not over yet. It's only 1:37, so I got some time. I got 20 minutes, okay, or so. People wonder, how does this dude keep talking? Somebody asked me one time, man, you sure talk a lot. I'm like, it's a radio show. It's a talk. It says LA Talk Radio. I'm supposed to talk, right? And especially when I have a guest on, and I have to pick up the slack for two or three people. So anyway, introduction of today's topic. Have we really thought about what hotels would look like once this thing is over? I mean, that's basically the topic, right? What will hotels look like? Let's just think about this for a second. This is uncharted territory, right? We've never been here before, right? Do we think we're just going to go back to a hotel and just everything's going to be hunky-dory like it was before? And just check in, go to the front desk, valet park, order off the buffet, or go to the buffet? No, that's not going to happen. So this is what I think is going to get back, but I'm saying 12, 24 months. That's just me, okay? I mean, 12 to 24 months to get back to where we are, like, say, 2019 levels, okay? That's what I'm saying. Now, eventually, gradually, we're going to get back to certain things, or, you know, more people will be traveling, you know, more people will be eating out more. I mean, some cities have opened up, you know, some states have opened up their cities. I don't know. I don't understand all that, but I don't understand why there's a rush. Okay. I think in order to get a handle on this thing, we need to back off and just let things kind of work their way out. I mean, everybody's, what's the deadline? You know, I need a date. When we go back, you know, well, this has never happened before. So why do you think we need a date now? Why do you think we need to rush this? I got to go to the beach. You don't have to go to the beach. You know, you've been to the beach before. What's another several weeks going to matter? Okay. You can go anywhere and get some sun, but most people don't even get in the water. So what are you going to the beach for? Because other people are going there and you see people. And this is the thing. It's that whole hashtag FOMO thing, right? FOMO. You know, fear of missing out, right? You see people post up, oh, I'm at the beach, you know. What? They're at the beach? I gotta be there. And next thing you know, you got this whole wave of people doing it, right? So just like drinking bleach or something, you know, that's FOMO. Some people think they're missing out on drinking bleach. I'm like, what the heck is that? I mean, who's that dumb? But anyway, like I said, I don't get involved in that stuff, but there's some stuff out there that's just crazy. And then the thing is, if people are on board with that, I mean, I just don't get it. But anyway, But it is about FOMO, right? Because people go to the beach. When you see one person there, we're going to open the beach. We're going to open the parks. We're going to go to movie theaters again. You know, have one thing that I've learned that, and this, maybe this is sad, and just maybe this is where society's going, is that there's things you can do without. Okay, you can. I can live right now without going to the store ever again. Okay, because guess what? They deliver to the front door. So, I'll still go to the stores. Right, I had to go to Home Depot this morning. Okay, so I do go to the stores. But if you know there's another option, why would you want to wait in line? Why would you want to risk yourself? You know, things like that, because you don't know what that next person's been through or going through, right? Or what they have, right? You don't know that, right? So that's where I think this is where the slowdown is going to come, because you don't know exactly what's going on with that person. Okay, so it's going to lead into some of the things I'm going to talk about. What's a touch point? Okay, so when we're talking about what hotels are going to look like, what are touch points? You know, touch points are when you come in contact with someone else, right? So I'm going to a hotel. I'm driving up, okay? And this is a full service hotel. I'm driving up, there's a valet person. That's a touch point, okay? So I'm coming in contact with that person. That person's getting in my car. Are we still gonna do that? Okay, you move past that. You're going through the front door. There's normally someone at the door. Good morning, good afternoon. Hey, how are you? Can I help you? Or a concierge is right there. Hey, how are you? Welcome. That's three. We've already done three touch points, right? We've got the valet. We went to the door, maybe a doorman. And then there's someone at the door, inside the door, maybe the concierge. That's three touch points. And this doesn't apply to every hotel, but I'm just using this, right? Okay. So front desk, at least one person there, touch point. Okay. Going in the elevator. Who else is at the elevator? There's multiple guests at the elevator. How many touch points is that? I don't know. You're within 6 feet. Is the touch points at this point is within, you're within 6 feet of people's space, right? So those are all touch points. So you get in the elevator. You think they're going to have crowded elevators now? No, you're going to have one elevator, one person per elevator. Okay. Then, like I said, these are things that I've thought about this, right? And it's the surprising thing is that I listen to people on that are hotel experts or whatever, GMs, whatever. They haven't even thought about this. Like, and that's what gets me when they say, well, we're going to open up, you know, pretty soon here. Well, have you thought about this? Well, why would we think about that? Because you're putting your guests and your employees at risk, right? Who thinks about that? Think about your employees first. What do they have to deal with? Okay. So I've already gone through five touch points and I just got in the elevator. So you're going up. You don't know what you're going to encounter when you get to your floor, right? You're going to get to your room, open the door. Are you going to get housekeeping? Another touch point. Okay. What about the toiletries, like shampoo and soap and all that? Is it in the shower where someone had to refill? Is it a refillable thing or is it sealed? You know, those can be touch points if someone has put things in there. Coffee, you know, making your own coffee. Those are all touch points that have we thought about those? Some people have, but the majority, I guarantee, have not. Okay. But those are all touch points. What about housekeeping? Will housekeeping still be the same? Will you get clean, your rooms clean every day? Or will they, your room is sealed up, meaning they've sanitized and everything, and they won't go back in that room until you check out? I mean, I don't know. What is the hotel going to look like? Have we thought about that stuff? See, those are the things that I think about, touch points. You know, you want to eliminate all the touch points because any good GM or owner wants to protect their employees. They want the least amount of, I guess, interaction or at least touching or getting in each other's space, okay? Meaning within the 6 feet distance, right? So that's what I'm referring to. You're not physically, you know, and sometimes you're not physically touching or whatever, but you're still within the 6 feet, right? The social distancing. What about valet? The bellman. I didn't even mention that. You know, do you need help with your bags? Okay, that's another touch point. Are they going to be in an elevator with you, or I'll meet you up there and, you know, you come in another, you know, another elevator. So, I mean, those are the things we have to think about. We haven't talked about the airline. We haven't talked about Uber, we haven't even got to that point. I'm just saying from when you arrive at the hotel and what are you dealing with? How many people did you touch on upon arrival, during your stay, when you're leaving, when you've departed? How many people have you come in contact with? Those are the things that you have to think about. We always talk about, oh, we want to just, we got it 6 weeks from now. We want to get this thing up and running. Well, have we thought about all this stuff? I mean, I know Marriott's come out with the, you know, sanitation and all this kind of stuff, but have we thought about the touch points? What about, and I have a list of things here, so I'm going to go through this list of stuff that I have regarding touch points. I already mentioned one guest per elevator. Mini bars. Is that going to be in the rooms anymore? Breakfast buffet. You going to eat on a breakfast buffet now? I mean, those are the things, I mean, I'm trying to be funny or whatever, but those are things we have to think about. We have to redo the way the buffet, or do we do buffets at all? I don't know. Daily housekeeping services, I mentioned that. And then you're going to go from, you know, full, are you a full service hotel? Are you limited service? Are you a luxury hotel? Because with all three of those types of hotels, there's different expectations, okay? So if I'm at a limited service, like a Hampton Inn, of course, I'm not going to expect the same services, but I still expect the same cleanliness and, you know, people wearing masks or being safe and thinking about my safety, right? So those are things I'm still thinking about, that stuff, regardless if it's a full service, limited service, select service, or whatever the heck we want to call it. The same people want to be safe, or different people still want to be safe. They may stay at different types of hotels, but they still want to be safe and secure. Now, one thing I was talking to Cheryl Rogers about was, what was it? Is the experience. She's all about the experience, right? Okay, which a lot of people are, but she makes it known that she's all about the experience, right? And I said, your experience is going to be compromised because things are going to be different. And the same stuff that I brought up, she didn't think about either. She was like, no valet parking? I said, I'm not saying that they won't do valet parking. I'm saying that how are you going to keep your social distance from someone that's valet parking? How are you going to negate that touch point? Okay. They're going to get in your car. Are they going to clean your car with some sanitation? Are they going to spray it with Lysol before they get in and before you get in or get out or whatever? I mean, see, those are things you have to think about. And we haven't talked about meetings yet. You know, meetings that were maybe for 500 people, now where they're going to narrow it down to 200 people, because instead of having 10 per 6 foot table or rounds of 10, you're going to only have five in a round of rounds of five instead of rounds of 10 for a dinner or a sit down meeting or whatever the heck it is, because you got to have space in between people. So what are you going to do? So those are the things that people have to think about, right? A lot, and people are thinking about it. I'm not saying that everyone's not, but those are the things. Those are touch points, right? Meetings are touch points. I mentioned the buffet. Are we going to go to plated meals? Are we going to serve meals at all? Are they going to be self-service, meaning they're going to be a bag lunch? You know, you just go pick up a bag off the buffet table or the table, food table, and go sit down somewhere. I mean, those are things you have to think about. And I don't think, you know, we all want to get back to work. And I'm not saying we don't. I want to travel too. Shoot, I got stuff I need to do. But am I going to do it and put myself at risk? You got to weigh it, right? It's always got to be a personal choice. What's important to you? It may not be important to me. And what's important to me may not be important to you. But those are the things. These are going to be the realities, because we haven't come back to this. See, this is the thing. This is all speculation. We're just all talking because no one has come back yet, right? I mean, there's still some hotels that are still operating, right? But are they looking for things? I mean, people are visual, right? They want to see, they want to walk in and see people with masks, people with gloves, people spraying Lysol, people cleaning, you know, disinfect with some type of disinfectant. They want to see that. So that's what comes back to the, what are you doing now? Knowing what you know, what are you going to do now? Because as a salesperson, you're going to have to sell that client, Joe, meeting planner, Russell Hotels, or whoever, on why my group is going to be safer than that hotel down the street. I mean, that's just it. I mean, have we thought about that stuff? So I don't know. So daily housekeeping service. I don't think so. Deep clean, are we going to deep clean a room after the guest has left? You know, are we going to keep that room vacant for 24 hours to make sure, you know, any, you know, virus or whatever is decimated from that room? I mean, this stuff sounds crazy, right? But this is the reality. Rooms stay vacant for 24 hours before cleaning. I just mentioned that. Valet parking, that's suspect. Virtual check-in. Okay, we're doing that already, right? More hotels will go to virtual check-in. I can say that without, you know, any reservations. That's going to be people that aren't, you know, doing virtual check-in. You're going to start doing virtual check-ins. It's the easiest thing, right? You don't have to go to the front desk. You don't have to have a key because everything works on your smartphone, right? Click, go to the door. I'm in 320. Unlock the door. Go in. That eliminates a touch point. So look for more of that. I mean, and the major hotels are doing that. I'm saying look for if they have the option for all their hotels, meaning select service, even the economy hotels. Like I said, everyone, regardless of what their budget is, they want to feel safe. Okay, so let's just take that out of the equation. Everyone wants to feel safe. Restaurants. Will restaurants still be open or will they be modified? Let's mention virtual check-in. Grab-and-go snacks. You know, lunch boxes, more self-service. You know, you see the courtyards and the, I think, Hamptons or Hilton Gardens where they have the market inside the inside the hotel and in the lobby. That's a great idea because that's self-service. I can see things that are sealed. I can see more of that, right? Of course, I can see more of that. So somebody foresaw some of this stuff happening, right? Because they put some of those hotels, full service hotels too, have taken out space just to have those markets, right? So self-service markets where you can get prepackaged sandwiches, you can get, of course, sodas, you can get alcohol, you can get all that kind of candy, chips, all that kind of stuff. And you just pay for it at the front desk. Or I bet now they're going to have it virtually where you can just go and self-serve, boop, you know, boop, and it charges to your room. I can guarantee that if it's not happening now, it will. In-room coffee makers, what are we doing? Are we still making our own coffee? Is that, those are sealed, right? But what about the vessel that you're brewing the coffee in? I mean, do you have to clean it? You're going to have, when you check in, they're going to give you something to clean with? I mean, I don't know. Are you going to trust that room is clean? See, those are things that you have to think about. And I mentioned sealed shampoo, water, soap. What about gyms? Are we going to let people go into the workout facility? Are we going to have scheduled times to work out? You got to fill out a thing, okay? You can only work out from this time to that time. Then someone else comes in there. Or maybe you just let people be responsible for themselves. Okay, well, they know about social distancing. Maybe you put a sign, say, hey, you know, adhere to social distancing requirements, you know, and then wipe off your own equipment. I mean, that happens now at the gym now, right? Where people, you know, wipe down their own equipment. But now we got to make sure we have sanitized wipes or something accessible to people to wipe their, you know, their equipment down after they use it. So I can see that. I can see it going to that as well. So rooms sealed. Now I heard this one today. Rooms sealed, meaning those rooms have been sanitized and it's like a caution tape on the door that says this room has been checked and inspected and it meets, you know, whatever standards. I've heard stuff I heard stuff like that. I'm not going to say it's outlandish, it's silly, whatever. But we may be going to that where you see the room is sealed. That means it has been cleaned, it's been inspected, and it's okay for the guests to check in, right? So who knows where this is going to go. But I guarantee you, all the stuff that I'm talking about is being tested by someone, okay? So just think about that. Now, this one that I checking, and I heard this, okay? And I don't know how I really think about this, but checking a guest's temperature upon arrival at your hotel, meaning you have, you know, have the doctors and have the wand that just, you know, okay, he has a temperature of anything over, you know, 99.5, you know, we don't allow to come in a hotel. I had to talk to an attorney about that this morning and say, hey, is that something that does that violate your rights or what do you call it, privacy agreements or anything like that? And I said, no, it doesn't. It's just that, you know, in this day and age, maybe more people want to see that. you know, because no one wants to get sick, right? So if you have a temperature of, you know, like I said, over 99, and you post this, right? It's posted on the website, so it's not like a surprise when you walk in. Post it on the website, post it at the, you know, in the entrance. You will be tested before you go in. You know, you're not, you know, it's one of those wand things that, you know, the doctors have them now. And you just, it takes, you know, a couple seconds. Boop. Okay, you're good. Okay, come on. Boop. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, wait a minute. You can't come in here. Why not? Because you have 101 temperature. You got to go. We can't let you in here. Oh my God, no, do it again. I mean, I can see all this other stuff happening too, but those are things that people are talking about. So when I say, you know, what is the hotel going to look like when we get back to traveling? These are some of the things that are going to happen, right? So, and just remember, you heard it here first on Air with Russell Hotels. So this stuff, I just make up some of this stuff. I've had conversations with people. I've listened to other people talk, other experts talk about it. I listen to other podcasts. I mean, I listen to a lot of stuff that's going on that in our industry. And like I said, my job is to collaborate, connect, and get information, right? Information is key. Information is power, right? So my job is to get that information out there to people and let them make their own, you know, assessment. They assess it on their own. They can make their own decision based on whatever, because that's what it's going to come down to. What is your personal choice? Do you think it's smart to start traveling now or within a couple weeks or 6 weeks or whatever? Do you think it's smart to even go to the beach now? I mean, there's things that are going on that you have to make a personal choice, right? But just remember, some of the choices we make can affect other people, especially when you don't know what's going on. You know, you don't know how this thing works. There's no vaccine or anything like that. But, you know, I know eventually people get antsy and they just got to go out and do it. But guess what? I'm not going to do it. I shut it down for the whole year. Someone asked me, when do you think meetings are going to start taking place? I think in September. That's what someone told me. I said, I don't think so. I said, I honestly think we're going to shut down for the rest of the year. I said, I don't know about the rest of the country, but I said, Russell Hotels is shutting down for the rest of the year because I need to see how all this stuff shakes out, right? So that's me. Am I paranoid? No, I'm not paranoid, but I think I'm a realist, and I think I have to take other people, you know, some things I do affect other people. So we got to think about that stuff as well. So we're coming to a close here. We got about 3 minutes left. But yeah, so what will the hotels look like? My guess is as good as anyone, but I did come up with some stuff that I think a lot of this stuff is going to happen. So we need to start thinking about that stuff, or just don't be surprised when we walk in and we see it or we hear about it. Just remember that you heard it first on Air with Russell Hotels. They said, that Russell Hotels, that guy knows what the heck he's talking about. But look at my LinkedIn page, because you'll see the picture of this. It's called, it had to do with Marriott and their hospital-grade disinfectant. It was like this, they call it an electrostatic sprayer. I mean, it looked really cool where this stuff was being sprayed out. It was like, you know, eliminating all the bacteria and it was sanitizing everything as the guy was going back and forth. It was a still picture. It wasn't a video, but it looked kind of cool the way he was doing it. And I got so many hits off that just because of that. Because it was cool, right? The way he was doing it. And Marriott is always on that cutting edge. So they did that on purpose, right? They're like, let's do this, and that's going to catch fire. And I guarantee you, right? It's all about the placement of this stuff, right? But people want to see it. That's the thing. People want to see that these hotels are doing something that they didn't do before. And that's the key. What are you doing now that you didn't do before? Because that's what guests are going to want to know. That's what your old guests, your current guests, and your future guests. That's what they're going to want to know. And if you don't think so, then you're crazy. I had to say that. People want to do things differently to provide extra. Yeah. I don't even know what the heck that is. Social media. Oh, you're doing something differently. Put it on social media. That's what I'm trying to say. Put it out there. People need to know that you're doing something different. Like I said, Marriott did the thing where a picture of the guy, you know, spraying the disinfectant or whatever. People want to see that. So check that out. And I can help with that. If you need help with that, let me know. Take care of your employees and they'll take care of your guests. Who said that? That was a whole Marriott thing back in the day. Take care of your employees and they'll take care of the guests. Well, just remember that. everybody moving forward, take care of your associates. Eliminate the touch points, okay? Make sure we're all gloved up, masked up, but watch to eliminate as many touch points as you can, because that's going to help out the employees. And guess what? The employees probably going to appreciate you doing that. So let's just make sure we do that. Communication is the key. Keep employees, associates in the loop. Line level employees will come and go. We know that, right? But you got to keep them in the loop of what's going on, especially when it has to do with their safety and security. So keep them in a loop. I mean, that's easy, right? Communicate, over communicate. That's okay. As long as they know the full story or full ramifications of what's going on, right? You have to do that. So I'm going to have to go. Gosh darn, it's 2 o'clock. I had one thing I had to go over, but this is something I can talk about next week. So anyway, thank you so much for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. I got a little animated today, right? I have to admit. But I think it was warranted. I think I needed to get animated on this stuff just so you guys know what's going on and how passionate I am about this stuff. And we want to make sure we keep us, you know, we're all in it together, but we want to make sure we do it safe. You know, we want to do it safely and we want to remain healthy. So that's my old thing. Thank you so much. Have a great Tuesday. Great rest of your week. And we see you next week on air with Russell Hotels. Hashtag hospitality unplugged. Deuces.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.